Okay, thanks for your calls and comments coming in so far this morning. It's been a busy one. We are going to get to as many of those as we can before the end of the programme. But I'm delighted to welcome onto the programme Louise Gallagher from Derry, who's executive producer and co-creator of Blue Lights. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us, Louise.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on what's been a huge success.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's a bit mad.
Yeah, it's I'm at a disadvantage here, right? Because it's one of the programs I'm saving up. Okay.
Normally, no spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I trust you wouldn't. But you know, normally, it's just a strange position because I'm actually a viewer, right? So, but it's on the list. But it's one of those on the list that's actually going to be watched, because I wasn't really aware of season one and two, but it seems season three is everywhere in terms of talking points.
Yeah. We're covering a lot of talking points. I mean, this year we covered domestic violence. Obviously, the drug trade through Ireland as a transit zone into the rest of into the UK and Europe. And yeah, there's that much going on. And then we have a dementia storyline as well. The whole purpose of the show is following response officers. Who in season one, they come straight out of training college. And from our research and from talking to officers, they're thrown out of the deep end pretty much on day one. They have been faced with anything from, you know, a cat up a tree to, a body that's maybe been, you know, in a house for several days, but all this, you know, day-to-day life stuff happens. So we're following our three main characters, Annie, Tommy and Grace, as they navigate the Belfast, really.
Yeah, and the second series focused on a loyalist feud in the city, and people are enjoying the third series now. When we watch big shows on the telly, and I'm putting this in with the big shows, you know, it's based on stuff, violence and activity in Baltimore, or it's in Florida, or it's in New York, or it's in Glasgow, right? What's in a funny old spot? In Ireland and Northern Ireland, right? It's all very local, and you're a Derry woman, you're tackling issues. Is it like walking on broken glass, or what? You know that? Do you get where I'm coming from? It'd be like if I started sort of speaking on this show about something very, you know, very local that would be very controversial. It would be easy to talk about it in another place or about another place.
That's not the approach that I took or my fellow creators took on it. We wanted to make a story about our place in our voice and from our perspective. There's a lot of programs coming to Ireland, north and south, that are in from other big companies or you know, in other countries, telling our story their way. Mm. But we wanted to tell our story our way.
Yeah, I get you.
And I grew up watching police shows, you know, Cagney and Lacey, Hill Street Blues, The Wire, you mentioned Baltimore, Southland, and the reason why people watch police shows is because it's a great vehicle for drama.
Yeah.
You can get really into sort of really interesting stories. It's brilliant for actors to play. They can really get into the characters. And that's what I just wanted to do. And I had met people who were social work. I'd worked in the BBC for years myself in Belfast and radio. So I'd always been meeting people from different backgrounds, different worlds. And I'd met a couple of social workers who made the decision to become police officers because they felt they could do something more beneficial and helping their community. And that's where the idea came from. That sort of, you know, when they were talking about the change from going from social work, where those qualities of a social worker really do help when you become a police officer, because you have to be able to talk to people and you have to be able to listen to people.
While it's a drama, it's important that there's an ethos there of its authenticity and its reality, but also lived experience from within communities to see how people transition between various roles and why they do so.
Yeah, and I mean, the POV of this was always going to be from police officers going into situations, no matter what they are, and they're told, you go in, you deal with the person, you deal with the suspected crime or incident. So it was, how is this affecting them? You know, at the end of the day, these are also, they've chosen to do this job. They're also human beings. They have partners, families, you know, mummies, daddies, the whole thing. So it's, the whole focus was the person behind the uniform. Mm-hmm. How does going in and seeing trauma after trauma, maybe three or four different types of trauma, or trauma is trauma, but three and four different incidents of it on a 12-hour shift, yeah. Something that, you know, me and you would never have to do, or the vast majority of your listeners would never have to do, bar paramedics and fire service. So it was just, what, how does this affect them as a human being, and how do they react to it, and how does that, and how do they live their life? Can they put that away when they go home at night?
So something's commissioned, and then you've got the script, and you think this, you know, this is a great script, and then you start filming it, and you know, things are going really well, and you like the way the story is being told, and it feels good and on set, everyone's really positive, and whoever commissioned it starts saying, you know, I've watched a couple of episodes, it's fantastic. Maybe even you get a good positive review in a newspaper. What does it feel like then when the public, and I'm on about a broad section of society in their millions, starts to go, you have to watch this, I've watched this, this is brilliant, I like that character? Because that, for me, I think, would be when it's like, wow.
Aye, and it still hasn't sunk in, to be honest with you. It's there was a little social media post that the brilliant social media team in BBC, in the BBC in London, did last week, set the city centre, and for the first time, it was actual members of the public being sort of vox popped, saying, what is it you like about this show? And it was only a wee 3-minute clip. I was in tears because it was the first time, and I'm really emotional person anyway, and I just thought, oh my God, people are really connecting with this. And it is the characters and it is their situations, and that's down to the brilliant writing of our writers, Declan Lawn and Adam Patterson, and our guest writers as well. We have several guest writers on the show, Noel McCann, Brona Taggart, and Fran, and it's just brilliant. That's, you know, you come up with an idea, and you know, you build a team around you to come up with it, but you only think of where you are at that stage.
Yeah,
you don't, you really don't go, oh, we're going to do this and it's going to be that and blah blah blah. You're literally one step at a time, because trying to get any television series away is a long, long process. Very long. It took years to get Blue Lights, even for anyone to take it seriously at all. And that first person to take it seriously was Stephen Wright when he was the head of drama at the BBC in Belfast. There's a phrase in our industry called development hell, and that's what it is. You will be in that. So I first took that idea to Stephen in 2015, and we didn't start shooting until like 2021.
It's obviously a huge success, because it's not just now for a scheduled TV audience, it's streaming platforms, it's global, and it's massive. And the BBC now, like any organisation that's publicly funded, under a great deal of scrutiny, right? So they've commissioned you again already for a fourth season. If there was a graph of pressure, right? So, you know, a graph of pressure from season one to three and sort of heading towards four, is it sustained? Is the pressure greater now? Is the team confident whereby you would never rest on your laurels, but you know what you're doing?
Yeah, we have a really strong vision. You know, the vision's very strong. It's and we have a, this is what this show, we know what this show is about. We know our point of view. We know what we're telling. The pressure really is in the turnaround of it. So season three just went out on air there at the end of September. We'd already started sort of writing, Declan and the writing team had already started writing season four. So we're already writing season four, you know, the whole team are up and running. We go into prep now in October, and we start shooting it early next year for delivery this time next year. So season four will hopefully, all being well, be out around this time again next year. So it's pretty intense, but you know, you just have to get on with it. That's what we're in this job to do. And there's no point in whinging about it, because that's what keeps the lights on, you know?
Yeah, and you just close your eyes and think of the development stage. if you ever think.
As I say, in anything like this, you know, you just take it one step at a time. There's no point in panicking about what's down the road. You just have no idea what's down the road. So you just, let's get the scripts in the best position they can be in as quickly as possible so that we can give it to our production crew and then they can go and create the world that you all see on television.
Again, I'm probably actually going to start this weekend now because I have a couple of days off next
week.
Oh,
you have to.
I am, you know, it's you save something up and then you'll be afraid you forget to actually start it. And there's a lot of not great stuff out there. I don't mean that badly. Louise, in terms of story arcing, sorry, just this is more, you know, fanboy types of questions. You know, you don't know. There's nothing worse than when a series ends and maybe the writers or the producers haven't wrapped it up, but at the same time, you don't want to leave. You want to maybe leave something hanging there. What's the approach when you're writing sort of something?
Well, because we knew we had four seasons, you know, after season one or season two went out, I think we were given a double commission, which was fantastic because then that gave us that space to really broaden out the stories and leave things hanging at the end of three, which we know we will explore in season four. So that was such a gift, which means that we had 12 hours of television to work with as opposed to six. So that's what we're doing now. Once you binge season three this weekend, Greg, which I know you will.
No, I'm going to start one. I have to start one. I've got one.
You haven't even started one?
Oh, no,
my God.
I've got one to look forward to.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to be on the 18-hour journey. Don't you worry about that. One final question about the 6-hour sort of, it seems to be a British-Irish kind of a thing whereby the Americans might go for 8, 10, 12, my word, sometimes it's 20. 6 seems to be the sweet spot because I just finished Fearless actually last night, which is an older ITV show, which was really, really good, right? Yeah. And there wasn't too many episodes and there wasn't too... As a storyteller, is 6-hour the sweet spot in your perspective?
Well, it all comes down to budget as well. You know, public service broadcasters don't have the same deep pockets as the streamers would have. So that's basically, I think, what it comes down to. Is the money.
Okay.
Right. And the lack thereof.
I think, though, sometimes to get that money, there's a lot of padding. And I wasn't a fan of the 6 hours, but now I'm warming to them, if that makes sense.
And, you know, where, as you said yourself, there's a lot of choice out there at the moment as well. So it takes a lot of work to get something to punch through, to capture people's imaginations. It's going to keep them coming back every week.
Very finally, from your perspective, Louise, as executive producer and co-creator, the co-creating work's done now, but this is an ongoing work. Does this take all of your time, a project of this scale? Or is there other things that you can do?
Yeah, it does take up a lot of time. I mean, I also have another job. I work for Hattrick Productions,
another big company,
who would have made Father's Head and Derry Girls. And so I run their Belfast office as well as their development executive. So I do have a lot of plates spinning at the minute. So I'm working with new and emerging writers from all over the island of Ireland and trying to find another new hit. So
yeah, no doubt you will. All right. Thanks for so much of your time, considering it's so
my pleasure.
It's so
Thank
limited.
You for having me.
Lovely to chat to you. Thanks, Louise. Continued
all
success. Bye bye.
And enjoy the show when you get the chance.
And you know what? I feel it's just to get a chat with you, and now I'm going to sit there and I'll say to the other half, I'll say, you know what? I was chatting to the creator of this last yesterday.
Yeah.
Cheers, Louise. God bless you. Thanks
so much.
All right,
thanks a million. All the best.
Work.
Have a good day.
Bye. Louise Gallagher from Derry, executive producer and co-creator of Blue Lights. It's that big success. It's up there now with, is it Line of Duty and so on and so forth? So season 3 is out there now. There's no point. I wouldn't be the type to pretend. It's been on the list, but I haven't got round to it. But it's that type of a chat then that sort of makes you go, oh, okay. Okay, I'll start that. I'll have a go. And we've got a wealth of talent in the arts on this island, not least women. Louise Gallagher of Blue Lights fame. Great to chat to her. And now have the pleasure of chatting to Anne Gilday, who's coming again to On Green on Theatre on the 25th of October for her new show, Further Adventures in Womening. Good morning to, or some up here would say womening, Anne. Lovely to have you on the programme.
Well, good morning, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. How are you keeping?
Oh, that's good. I'm of that age. I don't trust the technology. We're doing this on Zoom and I'm like, oh.
No, it's fantastic. Because we get to hear you and we get to see you as well. Obviously, many people have already seen this show and...
this is a brand new one. This is a brand new one. The last show I did
It's a bit cheeky putting the reviews from the last show on this show's poster.
Which review? Go on, tell me.
A truly hilarious legend. That's you. 200% recommend.
These are from audience. Those quotes are from audience people.
Aye, exactly.
Audience people, ladies. Yeah. I have to tell you, Greg, my last show was How to Get the Menopause and Enjoy It.
Yes.
And I was up in Letterkenny in December last year, and we recorded it. And so I've been putting up loads of clips from that show on my socials. And that's all. There's lots of shots of the audience, so people in Letterkenny can see themselves. It was the best show ever. It was the last show I did of How to Get the Menopause. And then I pivoted around, and I've been working on this show for a couple of years. So this is a brand new one,
brilliant,
everybody. This is totally new.
And we'll re-emphasize that, because it is important, because, we do know, and we had great feedback. We spoke to you ahead of that last show.
Talking to you, Greg.
And we got great feedback from it. So, I mean, you're dipping into womaning again, but there's no end of material there, is there?
There's, Greg, no end of material. I think what inspired it was talking to older women after my last show. I began to think about, wow, how things have changed over the last few decades for women. And so I guess the jumping off point is thinking about my mum and what life was like for her. And then, because I'm Generation X and we were kind of the first generation raised on telly, I started thinking about all the images of women I would have grown up with, like the idea that you'd have the cross your heart bra and the 18-hour girdle, and you'd be doing the chiffon scarf test in the morning to make sure your legs weren't hairy. And I just started throwing my mind back and reminiscing, because it's quite a nostalgic show, thinking of all those images of the housewifey woman and what she was supposed to be and how that's changed utterly.
But that's why...
Utterly.
That's
a
why,
terrible beauty is born.
Yeah, that's why your show, though, is so popular, because if the audience member don't recognise themselves in you or what you're saying, they certainly are going to recognise another woman in their life, because the stuff you're talking about, you know, many of us have lived through, but you forget about it. It's like the cross your heart bra. I remember the ads now as a mid-teen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or in the country area, some people call that the sheepdog bra. Round them up and point them out. And I also started looking back at the way things were legally for women, like with the marriage bar, which only ended in the early 70s. And, the fact, actually, a woman told me this. I didn't realize that when women got married back in the day, they would lose their tax number, yep, their PPS number, mm-hmm, and they'd be given a new one, which was their husband's, with a W at the end of it. And, you know, that was not finally phased out until the year 2000. And it's amazing when you look back at the way everything was framed. It was very much the women were kind of second-class citizens. And I love just touching on that in a funny way, and just to remind younger women, because I have to say, Greg, younger women love the show too.
I find
generations of women come together to the show.
Of course, I can imagine. And it's laugh after laugh after laugh, and elbow, and that's me, or that's your auntie, or whatever it might be, yeah, right? But the women, the challenges women face, and I'm sure the younger audience will understand this, that the challenge women face particularly change, but they're still there.
Oh, absolutely.
But just different challenges.
But I think what I try and do in the show is keep it very joyous, and it also turns
I'm not
into
trying to kill the buzz, Anne.
Oh, challenge. It's such a challenge. Well, no, the way I look at it, Greg, life is a challenge,
yeah,
for everybody. And I have to say, fellas come to and laugh their heads off. Life is a challenge for everybody. And I think my attitude is you have to laugh.
Of course. And the audience reviews are, you know, you will hear from on certain shows, it was a great show. This gets that as well, but also it's seen as sort of a great night out, you know, whereas you've already talked there of people going going in groups and what have you.
Oh, yeah. And I just remind people of jingles and team tunes from old TV. And it turns into, this has happened organically, but it turns into a big sing-along. And women love that, because I find across Ireland, women, Greg, have the most amazing voices. So we'll have the whole audience singing the Just One Cornetto in amazing.
It's funny, that's the song. The song was in, when you mentioned a little earlier on, I'm not fascinated with bras or anything, but as you were talking, while I was speaking to you, because my mind works in strange ways, that song, you know, we took the wire out of underwire bras and we don't wear a wire anymore. Do you remember that one? I don't know why it came into my head.
We took the wire out of under. Was that a jingle?
It was about getting. Yeah, it was an advert, and it was about taking the wire out of the underwire bra, and we don't wear a wire anymore.
Oh my God, that's going in the show.
Write that down.
That's going to be fresh in the show in Letterkenny. And I have to say, Letterkenny, I'll be coming fresh from London, because I'm over in the Irish Culture Centre in Hammersmith on the Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I'm coming fresh to Letterkenny on Saturday the 25th.
You are literally writing this down, Anne.
And that's
you're
going in underwire brass. I have to check that.
No, it's the song that was this. Oh, I must try and see if I can find it. I don't know why it popped into my head. I think it's maybe we were boys and just thought it was hilarious that there was this song.
Greg, do you remember that whole thing that used to be hammered home, the 18-hour girdle? Mm. You had to have your 18-hour girdle. And now you look back and you go, what was the 18 hours about? Was that like the suggested length of the workday of the woman? Or was it the length of time you could wear it before the gangrene set in?
No, because you wear it for 16 hours. You take the 8 hours off for your husband's pleasure then, you see.
Yeah, you'd wear it for 16 hours and spend 2 hours trying to peel the bloody thing off.
All right, brilliant stuff. I'm so excited if my suggestion makes it into your show, Anne. I'm trying to think now. I've never, you know, what else could I suggest? But anyway, it's going to be a packed show because, firstly, obviously, people saw your last show and they got to see the last show of your last show. And now you've got this brand new show exploring all different avenues of womanhoods and womaning. And it's a brand new show and it's coming to On Green On Theatre Saturday, the 25th of October at 8 p.m. Are some of the stuff you talked about touring the show, and I know your shows are well received all over the shop, right? But these are, I mean, obviously you can Irish it up a little bit, right? But these are universal scenarios that we're talking about.
We brought the last show, How to Get the Menopause and Joy, went off to Europe and we did some gigs in Luxembourg, and I really had a sense that we could do this anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they are absolutely universal, and it's the same with this. This is a little bit more specifically Irish. But it'll be interesting to play in London because I think all our telly was coming very much from England. So there was the big link there.
Yeah,
you know, and I have the big link with England myself because my mum, I was born in Manchester and my mum went back there then when we grew up.
And I get a sense, you know. Anne, I mean, obviously you're working, right? And there's pressures and challenges and booking and accommodation and all that kind of stuff. But I do get the feeling you do enjoy what you're doing, that you enjoy your shows, and obviously, you know what you're going to be saying to an extent, but there's a lot of audience interaction and that helps guide and direct the show and its pace.
Well, yeah, because that's always been a big part of what I do, because like I've been doing this for so long. I was doing it for years before we started the Newlers, because that was my big thing before this was that comedy trio, the Newlers, and we actually formed 30 years ago in 1995. So that's how long I've been at it. And I do love it. And I feel really, really privileged to be still able to keep going at it.
Lovely.
Thanks. I can't tell you, Greg.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's like a vocation. I just love doing shows. And I feel after decades at it that I'm good at it and that I will deliver a brilliant night.
Yeah.
It's just gag, and great fun. I really make it unique for every audience.
Yeah, and I think you've got a wee connection to Letterkenny too, so, and Donegal as a whole. So it's like you can look extra special towards getting back. All right, it's Saturday the 25th of October. It's at 8 p.m. It's a brand new show, Further Adventurers in Womaning. You can get onto the On Green On box office right now to book your seat. As I say, it's cross-generational, you know, from your 18-year-old to your 88-year-old. I think they'll all enjoy it. And guys will enjoy it too.
Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you see your mum or your older sister or even maybe yourself in it. All right, take care of yourself, Anne. Lovely to chat to you as always.
Thank you for having us on again,
bye-bye,
Greg.
Lovely
to see you.
Yes, exactly. You too, Anne. Bye-bye. Oh, my God, I cut her off a bit early there. Right, OK. Let us take a break. It's 11:32. Yeah, caller says, Greg, I often wonder if these crime shows are good or bad for tourism. Bergerac was set in Jersey and it was rife with crime, according to the TV show. Another place with beautiful scenery is the Shetland Isles. And they also have a very high crime rate, according to the telly. Midsummer may be an imaginary place, but it must be the most dangerous place in England. Then you had Jessica Fletcher, who couldn't go anywhere with murder following her about. I think she came to Ireland in one episode, and as usual, there was a murder. Maybe it's good for tourism, but sometimes it's not realistic to have so much crime in such a small area. I trust the audience. I trust the audience in this show, and I trust the audience on television. I don't think anyone's going to go to Malinhead and expect to see a spaceship up there, for an example. All right, Shannon Wilkins is in with me now because Shannon is and has been perusing the world of entertainment, social media, just to keep us up to date, maybe give us some conversation for the younger people in our lives. Who's to say? Hiya, Shannon.
Hello, Greg.
How are you?
I'm great. How
fresh back from your jaunt in the capital. How was Dublin?
We just ate all around us.
Really? What did you have?
Yeah,
what was the nicest
thing?
So,
I think I've been on to you about this before. Sansab spice bags.
Right.
So they're Thai, they're not Chinese.
Okay.
And they're just
What's
life
the
changing. They're a wee bit sweeter.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like a sugary element to it. It wouldn't really be
do
spicy.
The peppers and onion not already bring a bit of sweetness?
They do, but this just elevates it.
Yeah. But
know?
Spice bags, you can make really nice spice bags at home.
Aye, but it's effort, Greg, like getting
it's
all your
not.
Spices.
No, you don't have to get all your spices. You get the little box of spice and it's perfect.
Mm.
You know? No, it is. I've done it at home myself and they're indistinguishable. If you get a bit of that shredded chicken in a frozen bag, air fryer, fry off the onions, fry off the peppers, chuck it in, sprinkle on, bish, bash, bosh.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Right, okay, what are we going to talk about first?
Do you want to start with the funny one?
You mean you taking the hand out of me?
Yeah.
All right, okay, go on then.
So earlier in the week, I saw a comparison of Hillary Clinton to Sabrina Carpenter and Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, don't know if I see it.
Yeah.
But the bone structure between Hillary and Sabrina is quite similar, and girls can completely change their faces with makeup.
Of course they can. So you got me to put on a pair of glasses. It seemed very suspect, but anyway, to what end?
Greg also has a doppelganger. I don't know, do you remember Harry Hill, the comedian, and the voice behind You've Been Framed? So I put up a wee picture. I did try to get AI to do it, but they wouldn't.
They wouldn't have it.
They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't let me bully Greg.
You should have got me to do the colours, because I'm a good sport, you know. I would have done the colours for you.
We'll have to recreate it.
Yeah. People used to actually say, believe it or not, that I looked like, what's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. It'll come back to me. Firstly, when I was younger, I looked like that... Steve at EastEnders.
Steve.
You know, I used to look like him. His birthday's actually the same. That's what people used to say. And Ollie Murs, that's the other one.
Ollie Murs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day, very good.
Now it's Harry Hill.
Right,
okay, thanks for that. All right.
I guess you're over the hill.
If you're watching social media, if you're watching, you will see this comparison. It's not the worst. I could have played up to that a bit more. But anyway, okay, so that's me and Harry Hill. Who's your doppelganger? Who do
my
people say you look like?
My hair isn't really, really blonde at the moment, but when my hair is really blonde, sometimes people say Reese Witherspoon or Holly Willoughby.
Right, okay. Holly Willoughby.
Holly Willoughby.
Okay, interesting. And quite honest. Right, what's next?
Well, I also forgot to add to that list there, John Breslin, Kevin Bacon. That's obviously been discussed before.
Oh, interesting. Has it been discussed before?
Me and Lee Gooch, we've said it, and I think it's like public knowledge. And
John
then,
Breslin, Kevin... Yeah, okay, so give
us
some
wee picture in there too.
Here she comes now, look.
There's
another
Lee
one of him.
Himself.
Do you know who he looks like? Lee Gooch looks like. The hamster off Top Gear.
You know
Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
Lee Gooch and Richard Hammond are the spit of each other.
Do you know what? This is another kind of offensive one.
Hold on a wee second.
No, you sit down there now.
You mentioned my name once, that was fine, and then I came out.
Have you ever heard your reference looking like Richard Hammond?
Is that the hamster?
Yeah.
He's kind of cool enough, isn't he?
Yeah, for 1 second.
I don't look like Richard Hammond. He's straight hair and small, excuse me.
But there's another one as well when Lee wears his glasses. Have you seen the daddy out of the Coraline movie?
No.
Is he handsome?
1 second now. Come on, I want to get Richard Hammond up here.
Oh, thanks very much, Shannon. We have to come back.
Show
me the pictures, Shannon.
Right, come round here. Look at this now.
I don't get me scaring glasses on.
There we go, look.
Richard Hammond?
Yeah, look.
Hammond's not so bad, is he?
But no, but you look a wee bit. Yeah, you do.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Who does Greg look like then?
Oh, we've already had the insults.
You look like the boxer boy without the body.
Right, okay.
The curly hair and the glasses.
So, come here, Gooch, you're off work. What are you doing in here for crying out loud?
I'm hijacking Hale Radio's printer. I need to print off a thing to sign a wee document, so I'm in.
Right. Have you cleared this?
I thought I'd break myself uneasy as well, you know.
You're back Monday, and I'm off Monday. I'm off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
God almighty.
I've got to use my days up, and I've got a few bits and bobs to do.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were doing read a piece about a third of Irish people don't take their annual leave. You know, so.
Oh, when you have it, use it.
Yeah, but
use
what happens is when we've a small staff here, and when you've got four or five people in this crossover, and everyone's got 10 days, and you've got 2 months, do the maths.
I know.
It's very difficult.
It's a bit.
You can't have any days left.
I do.
Yeah,
I'm kind of juggling now. I better speak to the boss upstairs first before.
Yeah, before you reveal all.
Yeah, so I have about maybe three.
Okay.
Could push it out to four, and then there's a bank holiday weekend around the corner.
Right. Kinda, okay.
Oof. Should talk to people before I talk on the radio.
And one other thing, Camille, you are. There's lots coming up, but you're also involved in the big Christmas bingo party night.
Oh God, I'm looking forward to that.
How exciting is that?
No, but it's great, and I'm looking forward to getting back now, because now it's like we have, you know, a lot of groundwork done, and we want to make it a really, really fun night
so
for anybody.
So where is it?
Oh, my mind's blank now. I'm just out of the gym. I think it is. I'm just out of the gym.
10th of November.
Yes, 28th.
Fantastic
is
night.
Saturday night. Thanks, Greg, for pulling me out of the water.
I think I'm in the Villa Rose yesterday, tomorrow for my niece's wedding, so I'll do a recce for you.
Yeah, it's a great venue. It's going to be a great location. And it's that time of year as well. It's Christmassy and people want to let their hair down. And, you know, the usual, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, the usual Christmas party nights, you go out and have your meal and there might be a band or a DJ and that's it and blah-de-blah. Blah. But this is kind of more interactive. Some of your colleagues might be performing in such a way that you get a good giggle, do you know? There's lots of strength, and there's chances of winning great prizes. There's a grand cash there as well. So, do you know, if you're looking for a little bit of difference, and if you want a few belly laughs, do you know? And sometimes it's nice to be a wee bit silly, because we can be a wee bit too serious sometimes.
Are you okay? I'm just comparing you here to Richard Hammond. Right. All right, hamster, thanks
all
very
right,
much.
All right, hamsters goes. Nice talking to you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. See you soon. Right, okay, that was Lee Gooch. You just never know who's going to pop in. Right, so what were we talking about there? Yeah, any other doubles, get them into us, 086 60 25,000. Someone in Donegal or someone at Highland Radio in particular would be good fun. I don't mind you taking the hand out of me, by the way, so I'm not easily offended. But is there any other doubles out there? Right, okay, one more before the break. And I'll come back to you then.
What will we do? You already had her on during the week.
Oh,
but the
yes.
90-year-old granny graduating from uni.
Yeah, let's have a look at her and have a wee listen to her.
Anybody can do it. And what age are you, for anyone that doesn't know?
90.
19?
No. I think you would know to look at me that I was not 19.
90 years old, how do you feel?
Same as I did when I was 89, actually. I'm graduating today. Yes, I haven't done it yet, but I will do it in a few minutes.
And are you excited for it?
I'm amazed, to be honest.
And it's a lovely story too, because she was able to go back to university following the sad passing of her husband, and also she's just joined up, I'm not sure if it's in your notes, to a creative writing course. So what a lady, what a lady, yeah. A real inspiration. And it's not that what she was trying to get across and did eloquently. It's not that, you know, every 80 or 90 year old out there should go back to university. It's just that you are never, it's never the wrong time to go back and push the boat out and increase your education, etc. So she's an amazing lady from Derry. Yep, you speak now.
Fair play to her.
What's
and
next?
I love that guy in Belfast, because he rolls out the red carpet for people just on the street and they tell their story.
Is that his thing? Is it right?
And they feel special. So you get a great story. Like one lady, I think, he stopped her in the street and she got a modelling career out of it.
Oh, wow.
And she was in her 70s, I think. So.
Okay, cool. Yep. Stay there. We'll be back with more news from the realm of social media after these. Lookalikes, V&M, Joe Dex is the spit of Bradley Cooper. Don't tell him we said that, though. I think that Joe Dex looks like a lot of people. Bradley Cooper seems to have had a bit of work done lately. I don't know if you've seen that. I think Joe Dex looks a little bit more like Superhands from The Peep Show.
I don't even know who that is.
Come around and have a quick look here. Do you see, what do you think? Do you not think he looks a wee bit like...
Maybe.
You know, like, Joe's a handsome man, but every time I see him, he reminds me of Superhands. Right, okay. Let me see. I want to mention that the Clonmany Community Centre are hosting a toy sale. Puzzles and games, toys and board games. And it is tomorrow, October 18th, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So that's a toy sale at the Clonmany Community Centre. A great array of puzzles and games, toys and board games as well. Go along and support them if you can. Right, what's next as we see what's happening in the world of social media?
So there is a girly podcast hosted by Alex Cooper. It's called Call Her Daddy. Have you heard of it?
No.
But she basically, every kind of popular guest that girls would be into, she interviews them. So she's done Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, Sarah Jessica Parker, she's done Kim Kardashian recently, Ed Sheeran, Zayn Malik, all the kind of people.
Wow, she's really getting the big names. Do I have a clip of that?
She's good. I didn't put in a clip in it, but I can put one in again.
No, don't you worry about that. Okay, so that's worth checking out, is it?
Yeah, but she interviewed Kim Kardashian earlier during the week, and we got a few kind of snippets into her relationship with Kanye, how she's gone forward in parenting. She made reference to her viral diamond earring moment. Do you remember that clip? It was trending for years and years and years. And actually as well, apparently Kanye would like just give away their luxury cars without like telling Kim. So at one point he gave away 5 Lamborghinis to their friends.
Okay, there's another story about Kim Kardashian, which is a bit dodged, but go on.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're on the internet, you've probably seen them, the viral new Skims underwear, which are basically all about bringing the 70s bush back.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Why, okay. But why would you have to do that with underwear?
See, I think she just thinks, what can I create that people will love? Like, she had bras as well with nipples made into them.
Okay.
Which was probably good for people who've had mastectomies and stuff.
Yeah, there is that. But that they might not always want them protruding, even if they're but okay.
But listen, it comes in 12 shades as well. So it's a great choice.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, you can change things up if you want to. Okay, what's next? And maybe hopefully slightly less awkward.
I have a
hold on you a second. Jimmy Sharkey is the image, I'm told. Hi, Jimmy Sharkey, who owns Top Shopping Dunloe, is the double of Jeremy Clarkson. Where is that? Let me see. Hold on you a second.
I need to come look at this too.
Oh, but he's much more handsome. He's much more handsome. But he does have a Jeremy Clarkson look to him. Well done to you, Jimmy. And go in and check him out in Top Shop in Dunloe as well. All right. He does have a similarity. I think he's more handsome than Jeremy Clarkson. Hey, keep your doubles coming. That's brilliant. Okay, well done. He couldn't. Well, I mean, I suppose if he changed his hair a little bit. Yeah, I can see it. All right.
Oh, I could genuinely mistake him for him.
Okay.
Genuinely.
Give us more of your doubles, preferably local. It doesn't have to be from Highland, but it'd be good crack if it is. Right, what's next?
So Westlife are reuniting for a concert.
All of them.
Not Brian McFadden.
Right, well, it's not Westlife then.
So what will we call the new group?
Just Westlife.
Westlife?
Yeah, it's not Westlife. I'm sorry, unless they all come back together where possible. It's not Westlife. And Queen touring with, is it Adam Lambert? That's not Queen either, I'm sorry. But anyway, listen, fair play to them. They will pack the stadiums out.
Oh, they will. Even a few years ago, they did the New Year's Eve concert. And we went down to it and we were so excited. And the security said, no, this area is full up, so you can't get through. So it was like on the streets of Dublin. So we couldn't get anywhere near them. So we just left.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah,
Terrible.
I didn't rate them too much on the street. But anyway, listen, they're great guys. Don't get me wrong. What else is happening?
So I have a wee clip in here as well of Robbie Williams on the Graham Norton show recently.
All right, okay. Robbie, yeah. What do you make of Robbie?
I think he's pretty cool.
Do you want to set it up or should I just play it and then we'll talk about it?
So we'll talk about it afterwards, I think.
Robbie Williams, who do you know on the couch?
No, everybody from watching them on the telly.
Okay, that's good.
And Julia Roberts, oh my God, I can't. I've watched Pretty Woman 6 times in a row.
What?
And at the end of the 6th time, I was like, one day, I will take a prostitute shopping. Oh. And I did. I did. So thank you. Thank you.
That's a wow.
He's very down to earth, isn't he? And
he
I think he's growing old really gracefully as well.
I think all the mums love him.
Yeah.
Like, and the love has never stopped. But I just think it's so funny. Out of all of the movies Julia Roberts has been in, Pretty Woman, you'd go, ah, a love story. He's like, no, I want to take prostitutes
yes,
shopping.
But he's gone in there with that line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the shtick. The only one thing I'd say about Robbie Williams and other singers as well is when they have big songs like Angel, mm-hmm. or even there's a new song out, the new song at the moment, Sugar on My Tongue and what have you, and the performers don't sing the songs. They start it and then they put the microphone out for the audience to sing it. And if I'm going to see a singer sing a song, I want them to sing the song. I don't want to sing the song myself. It does annoy me. Robbie does a bit of that, but I'm a big fan of his.
It's all about the vibes, though, Greg.
Yeah, I suppose,
like,
but
get the crowd going.
Okay, but you want to go and hear him sing Angels.
Yes.
You know? Right, what else have you got for me?
So, Diane Keaton has sadly passed away.
Hi, I was sad to hear this.
Genuinely, I felt so depressed last weekend and I didn't even know that many of her movies. Mm. But there's been loads of people paying tribute to her, including Steve Martin. Remember, they were in the movie, I wrote it down here somewhere.
I wish I could help you. It's like having Fionnuala back.
Oh, I know.
My
terrible
word. Can't remember a thing. Anyway, listen, let's hear to a bit of Diane.
You're not funny. No way. I'm out.
Stop it. No, I'm not going
to. You don't own me. Don't say
I'm
I
not
going to
go with other boys.
No.
And don't tell me what to do. And don't tell me what to say.
That's lovely, isn't
and
it?
When I go out with
just
you.
Watching it, it's lovely to see people just in their prime. She's with Goldie Hawn there and the other lady, I can't remember her name.
Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, that's it, of course. All right, okay. May she rest in peace. But, you know, she's got a great legacy to leave behind her too, which I'm sure hopefully is a comfort to her family. So that's sad news. Can you lift our spirits a little bit before we go?
So I have a wee video in there. My sister had to tell me about this one. I hadn't seen
which
it.
Which sister? The youngest or the middle one?
Okay. Yeah. So it's a new trend and it's bird songs, but you pretend to be a bird perched.
Let's have a quick look. Yeah. Okay, so you've got your legs up something behind you. You're using your arms. Yeah, I've seen a few of them. Is it going to catch on?
I don't know. Like, you'd need to have a good bit of upper body strength and core strength to video that and all. But Tig Fleming and his daddy Derry have done one. And then I saw Garen Noon and Protein Boar collab on one too.
All right, okay.
And then remember that song he had earlier, was it this year or more? There's no birds in the sky because they're all in my car. And he had like captioned it. Birds in the sky.
All right, that's one of those things. That's the kind of hot at the moment, right?
We have time for one more. What did I not get to?
Oh, we've done it all. No, we've done it all. Yeah, because you've done all the stuff. All right, brilliant stuff. Thank
well, I'm a celebrity. Vogue Williams is supposed to be going in there.
I heard Danny O'Cara was going into that. But obviously nothing ever come of it. But no,
It was his birthday as well yesterday, actually. Right, okay. So happy birthday to Danny O'Carroll.
Happy birthday, yeah. Nothing must have come of it, or they didn't agree terms or whatever the thing is. Or maybe it's still a surprise, I don't know. All right, then, listen, you keep it up. Thanks so much, Shannon. Keeping us up to date with everything that's going on. Right, and that's where we leave it on the 9 till noon show for this week. Thank you so much to all of you, for listening to the show, whether it's been live on the podcast or the overnight repeat. I'm off a couple of days next week trying to get through this annual leave, so Michaela Clark will be sitting in for me. And other than that, it's business as usual. I want to thank Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, as always, ably assisted by Shannon Wilkins. And that's where we leave it.